Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to another episode of Let's Get Metaphysical. I am your host, Lisa Kazza. You can visit me on my website. You can get a reading with me or just to reach out at my website at www.lisacazza.com. LISACAZA.com. So I do apologize for not having been on recently. I've had a lot of technical issues with my computer here, so finally got that back in working order. Hopefully it stays that way. So today I actually wanted to talk about the different perceptions of reality. Everybody has a different perception, their own sense of their reality. There's a couple of different things that I actually wanted to talk to you about, just to illustrate my point about the perception of different realities. Just because the reality for one person may not be perceived by another, it doesn't mean that it's real to that person, or that it doesn't exist, or things of that nature. Everyone has their own perspective, their own perceptions, their own realities. A good example to put this to you is, let's say, a couple of weeks ago I went camping with, it was just me and my three children, and we're sitting around by the campfire. I realized this is before the huge fire ban that we got. So we're all sitting there by the campfire around it, each person sitting in a different spot around the fire. And my one daughter goes, "Oh, check this out. This burning log looks like a dragon." And we all of us turn to look, and we're going, "Well, we can't see that. We don't see that." And so bound and determined, yes, it's there, I see it, and I couldn't even see it. When you're sitting around a campfire, you have your own perception even in that respect, so everyone has their own perceptions. So the first thing I want to talk about, like to illustrate perceptions of reality and different realities in itself and realms, that kind of thing. Remember, this is going a little ways back. Actually, a couple of years. It's been a couple of years now. But remember when that Pokemon Go game came out? I mean, it was just insane. I remember this one day, my son comes racing up the stairs and scrambles to get his shoes on. And I go, "Where are you going?" And like I already didn't know. He goes, "I'm going to run to catch a, I forget what it is now, Electrode or something like that. It's down by the Trestle Bridge." And the next thing you know, my daughter comes running. "Oh my God, I knew it. Where's he going? What's going on?" Oh, and then my husband, he's always going to catch a stupid Pokemon. Anyways, they all went running. I don't think I've ever seen my kids run out the door so fast. And my husband and I were left standing there in just total disbelief. All we could do was look at each other and just basically shake our heads and carry on whatever we were doing. So, what was up with this Pokemon Go? I totally understand the likely conscious idea behind the game. It's to get people up and out and moving around. But, I was, during this fad, I would also keep hearing stories of, and I mean like serious accidents happening on busy freeways, people standing in the middle of the roads. And there was this one time two teenagers mindlessly walked across the Canada-U.S. border and got apprehended by the Border Patrol. And there were other, you know, silly reports continuously coming out. And my husband even had to shoo away about 15 kids from the post office just so that he could, you know, do his contracted lawn care and maintenance that he had going on. So, you know, it seemed that a lot of the Pokemon Go players were somewhat, you know, forgetting where they were. They would lose almost total complete awareness of their surroundings and what they were doing, like, for example, stopping in heavy traffic on a busy freeway just to catch a Pokemon. But why? You know, it's just a game. Well, I took a deeper, more metaphysical look into that phenomenon, and I now understand why it was happening. And the thing is, it's basically all types of video games. All video games. But I use the Pokemon Go as a really clear example. So our spirits are all-knowing and remember everything, even though consciously we don't. So our spirits know full well that there are definitely other realms of existence. Or other realities that a lot of us can't see with our physical eyes. Now, I personally have never seen or visited these other realities, but my spirit tells me that it's true, that they are there. So again, you know, basically all types of video games give our physical beings the satisfaction of escaping to another reality or perception of reality. So therein lies the addiction itself, spiritually speaking. Our spirits yearn to travel and visit different realities, so the games give that satisfaction. But of course, you know, as mentioned, consciously we don't realize that's a true reason. We may have more physical reasons, like worrying about money or work or school, and we then feel the need to escape and forget for a while. But that's just, I guess you could say, a mask for the real culprit. And that's also the real and more reason behind a game's creation itself, especially, like I had said, like the Pokemon Go. But when a game like Pokemon Go comes out, or any game, where you're essentially mixing this reality with a non-reality, so even games like, Call of Duty and things like that, you know, you're still mixing the reality with a quote-unquote non-reality, you know, when you're talking to the other players and everything else. This is where the problems start to really, really rise. And the thing is, I don't think I need to mention, you know, a lot of people, you know, not a lot, but you know, yeah, a lot. A lot of people will have addictive personalities. So when you mix, you know, the spiritual yearning that I just talked about with a person that has an addictive type of personality, well, again, this is where the problems start to come in. So, you know, like I said, the addiction to the video games, the Pokemon Go, is directly caused by our spirit's knowledge of and desire to revisit other planes of existence or realms or realities. And the desire for this is extremely strong within all of us. So as a result, well, this is why we are seeing so many people, adults and children alike, losing total awareness of where they truly are. Even, you know, in Call of Duty, things like that. I know my son, he'll be downstairs in the basement just screaming bloody murder. Meanwhile, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and we're trying to sleep. So, you know, they just lose themselves in these games. And again, the mixing of this reality with, if you want to, you know, a game, a non-reality, it makes it 100 times worse, clearly. So, you know, I'm not an addictions counselor, so I don't have too much advice here on how to possibly combat this addiction. But I do know that all of us also have the ability to visit other realms of existence or realities via, you know, either meditation or even astral travel. So I know that many folks wouldn't even consider trying this. Like, this suggestion would only work for those who are more spiritually aware and accepting of such concepts as astral travel. But I do feel that it would work wonders for many who are in fact aware, spiritually evolving, and are interested in astral travel and meditation. I too wish that we could, without effort, just simply poof somewhere to another reality, and without meditation or astral travel. But unfortunately, that's just not possible, at least not right now. So, folks, I would indeed keep in mind the spiritual reason for why, you love playing the games and, of course, enjoy it. But please, please, please remain aware of your surroundings. You are still, no matter what, in this realm of existence, is still this reality. Therefore, everything is still there around you. You haven't poofed anywhere yet. And again, like I said, when you play the games and you have this mixture of the spiritual yearning to travel and, wanting to experience those different perceptions of reality, you get that mixed with having an addictive personality, then that's where a lot of the trouble starts to come in. So that's, that was one form of different perceptions of reality, in a way. It was illustrating that there are other perceptions, other realities, and this is one way that people are trying to actually experience these different realities. Now, another example that I'm going to give you is, remember a couple of months ago, this Yanny versus Laurel phenomenon. This is back in sometime around May. And I sat there and, my daughter even caught me in it. But I sat there, something hit me, and I'm going, could there be any amount of spiritual significance to this? And, yep, I do believe that there is, to a certain extent. This is, again, we're talking about perceptions of reality. So I'm going to go back to the basics of this Yanny versus Laurel. We already now know the more scientific reasoning behind why one person would hear Yanny while another would hear Laurel. And what it is, it's a mixture of the sound system, so the treble, bass, and the degree to which the listener is tuned to a higher or lower frequency. It also depends on the size and shape of our ears, apparently, as that too influences our interpretations of different directions. So we detect with our ears, but we hear with our brains. The human brain picks one interpretation of what it receives. The brains of the people who were hearing Yanny appeared to be locking onto the higher frequencies. And for the record, it was said it's a low-quality recording of the word Laurel, even if you're hearing Annie. So initially, all I was hearing was Annie. However, with a bit of focus, I could then hear both of them. And so too could my two daughters and my husband. So the one concept I wish to focus on here is that of listening to higher versus lower frequencies. Now, you'll see what I mean in a few minutes, or so I hope. Think of the concept of the different frequencies, then think about spirit communication. Do you see where I'm trying to go with this now? Spirits communicate on different frequency levels. At the higher frequencies, that is where you'll hear your spirit guides, angels, divine source, and even sometimes, of course, passed over loved ones. On the lower frequencies, often that is where haunting spirits will be sitting. But even then, the lower frequencies are higher than what we as human beings can usually hear. So, like I just said, I could hear both Yanny and Laurel with a bit of focus. Therefore, with a little bit of focus and training, we can hear our angels, guides, and other forms of spirit. And I did indeed do a little bit of research on this because I wanted to know if anyone else in the spiritual or metaphysical world has touched upon it. And to my surprise, I had come across an article on the website of all things Christian Today. And at the very end of the article, they pointed out a small story in the Bible. And I'm not a Bible follower, by the way. I just want to, for the record. But it immediately struck me as somewhat supporting my own theory regarding hearing frequencies and that of spirits, angels, and guides. Yes, even though it isn't metaphysical in nature. So I'm going to actually read to you right now those two paragraphs from that article. And I'll let you know what really stuck out for me. So this is courtesy of Christian Today. This was, you know, published back in May when the Yanny versus Laurel phenomena for, you know, was running rampant on the internet. So it says here in the Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking of his death to come when he says to heaven, "Father, glorify your name." Then, we are told, a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, this part stuck out for me. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine." God speaks, but only some hear a voice. Or was he speaking through an angel? Others heard thunder. And then the article goes on to say, somewhat confusingly, Jesus says that the voice was for the benefit of the listeners, which is made perplexing by the fact that the audience don't all hear the same thing, which raises the question, why not? Have they been predestined to hear or not hear, granted their perception or lack of it by God? And then here again, have they failed to tune in to the frequency of heaven? Does holiness help hearing? Were they distracted by other sounds? The text functions powerfully here, though, as it offers an authority on the matter. Some heard merely thunder, but the writer John is giving his audience, decades after the event, an insight into the voice that came from heaven. So that was the tidbit of the article that really stuck out for me. And so that basically just added to me that it just gives further proof that just because we cannot hear it or see it, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. The higher frequencies exist, just like in the Yanny versus Laurel recording. Just because one person could hear Yanny or another person could hear Laurel, that doesn't mean that what they are hearing isn't the truth of their own perceptions. They are just simply tuning into the frequency of the sound being heard by their brains. With, again, Yanny having been apparently on a higher frequency. Therefore, the same can be said for communicating with spirits, guides, angels, and divine. Readers like myself are just simply tuning in to those much higher frequencies of sound. How much do you want to bet that a lot of psychics and psychic mediums likely heard Yanny before they heard anything else? It's because psychics and their brains are, I guess you could say, wired to hear those more, you know, higher sound frequencies. And just because one person can't hear those higher frequencies, it does not mean they don't exist. However, what it does mean, though, is that given some focus, we can definitely learn to tune in to those frequencies. At this point now, I'm just going to take a short wee little break. And when we come back, I actually have a bit of a surprise for you. For those of you who are actually interested in starting to work with spirit guides, again, which is a different form of reality, I will be giving you a meditation to go through. Because we're on the air, I'm going to have to do it very, very quickly. But you know that this episode will be available to you at any time for download and your listening pleasure. You can listen whenever you are able to do the meditation. With that said, I will be right back and get comfortable in a position that you're comfortable in and get prepared. We're going to be doing a meditation right after this.
My name is Ryan McCormick, and I am host and executive producer of the nationally syndicated Outer Limits of Inner Truth radio show. The reason why I come to your attention today is to let you know about psychic empath Miss Lisa Kaza. She's a regular featured virtue on our show, and I'm going to give you five trick reasons why you might want to check her out and see her for a reading. Number five, she's got incredible insight. She really has a precise way of doing things and providing and garnering information. I've talked to over 100 psychics in my life, and I think Miss Lisa stands out as one of the top five for sure. Incredible what she does. Number two, she's very honest and she's blunt. She's not going to sugarcoat the information. She's not going to give you a reason, because I think that it's very good that, you know, you get a blunt and direct response. I mean, she's going to be obviously careful and consider of your feelings, but she's not going to sugarcoat the reason why something's happening. Number three, she's overcome a lot of personal pain. Ms. Kaza wrote a phenomenal book that was a best-selling book about her life story, and she overcame an abusive relationship, and she dealt with all kinds of hardships in her life. So for those of you that are suffering, that are in pain, she's a great person to speak with because she's been there, and she can help you lead you out of that and hopefully lead you through a place of happiness. She's incredible. Number four, Ms. Lisa Kaza has got an amazing, beautiful, beautiful, kind heart. She'd do anything to help anyone. And that warmth that radiates to everyone. I think that when you talk to her, you're just going to be in the presence of pure unconditional love and warmth. And number five, Miss Lisa Kaza has incredible sense of humor. So she's not holier than thou. She's not stiff. You know, you can do a joke with her. I pull pranks on her all the time, and I drive her absolutely crazy. And she's just absolutely wonderful. So you can learn more about Miss Lisa Kaza by going to her website at lisakaza.com. Psychic empath, highly recommend talking with her, asking her some questions. It's really, really wonderful.
Welcome back, everybody, to Let's Get Metaphysical. I am Lisa Kaza, your host. And again, you can come visit me on my website at lisakaza.com. Get a reading, read my blog, and just drop me a note. Okay, so we were talking about different realities, seeing different realities, different perceptions. Earlier I gave, you know, two very strong examples of that. The Yanny versus Laurel was so strong in terms of proving to us that even though there are, you know, different frequencies, different levels of existence, even just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean that it's not there. It's all a matter of perception, different realities, and how you can bring in those different realities. The same goes for the video games. It's a spirit wanting to escape to different realities, different realms of existence. So that's why for the second half of the program, I am going to give you at least one tool in which you can add to your perceptions of reality, add a different reality to what you are already accustomed to. And what it is a meditation to connect you with your angels, spirit guides, animal totems. I've had reports of people connecting with passed over loved ones eventually through this meditation. So the very first thing I will say is that with any visualization meditation technique, the trick is to allow things to flow naturally. The best thing to do is to try and have the perspective that you're watching a movie that you have no control over, really. The only thing you'll have control over is what you say and do. You can't have control over anything else that is said or heard or seen. So I hope you are comfortable and relaxed. Now, again, like I said, we're on the air, so I can't really do this meditation slowly. So the best thing is to just listen to what I have to say, and then later on you can come back, and if you forget something, well, you can fast forward this episode to wherever you need to be reminded of the steps, and do it that way, because it's just way too hard on the air, time constraints and whatnot. So you, the first thing is, of course, to get relaxed, and not too relaxed, so you don't want to fall asleep, because I'm so guilty of doing that. Go through your breathing technique, breathing in deeply and slowly, and allowing your muscles to completely relax. Once you are doing this, visualize your crown chakra, which is located on the top of your head or just above it, and it's the large orb filled with the most divine white energy and light. Once you have your crown chakra visualized quite clearly, next visualize a cord of this very same light or energy flowing from your crown chakra down through the top of your head, traveling down along your spine, and moving all the way down through to the earth. And visualize this energy moving down even further, deep to the core of the earth itself and connecting with it. Doing this grounds you. Feel the warm energy of the earth flowing through your body and feel its power increasingly strengthen you. Allow this energy and power to surge through your entire body. So your arms, legs, fingers, toes. Allow the energy and power to build within you until you create a slight energy cocoon, a power cocoon that envelops your entire body. And this should be seen as a slight aura or energy field of pure white divine light. The same energy that is now flowing through you. Once you have this visualized, you may now allow the darkness behind your eyes should be closed to envelop you. Visualize a white light shining up ahead of you. And begin to visualize yourself walking towards this light. Now, as you get closer, notice that you are walking towards a doorway to another realm. And it looks very interesting. What does that door look like to you? What is it made of? When you open this door, look out and you will see a beautiful, lush forest. And I want you to step out onto the ground and take in your surroundings. Look at the trees and the shrubs, the grass, the flowers, and weeds. Are there any streams or rivers around? Walk around to enjoy and explore everything that's surrounding you at this moment. Now, as you look ahead of you, you will see a pathway through the trees. Visualize yourself stepping onto that path and beginning to walk slowly. And take a walk, a while, and then pause here and there, and listen carefully and wait. Soon, you may see your animal guide approach you, or an angel, or another form of spirit guide. Take as much time as necessary until your guide finds you. When you see your guide, whether it's animal, human, or angel, speak with him or her. Ask any question you might have in mind. Perhaps even ask what their name is. Or maybe you just want to say hello at this point. It's your decision. And when your guide motions to you that your meeting is finished, politely thank them and say goodbye. in my first meeting with one of my guides, I actually gave him the biggest hug. But please also make sure that you promise your guide that you will return once again, and that's in order for your relationship to flourish with your guide. You do, because you do need to make it a common practice. And you walk slowly back to the doorway that you pass through once you are finished with your guide. Visualize yourself walking back through the door. And step into the darkness once again and see another light up ahead. Walk to the light and visualize it slowly enveloping you and surrounding your entire body. Once the light surrounds you, you may then open your eyes. At that point, your journey to this other realm, this other reality, is complete. And at that point, I would then perhaps take the opportunity to write down all that you saw, all that was perhaps said between you and your guide, or anything that you feel was quite significant, write it down. Because if it doesn't make much sense to you now, it just might later on down the road. And one thing to note though, when you have more than one spirit guide, and most people do, only one may come through to meet you at a time. Within my own experience, that was indeed the case. During meditation and a meeting with one of my guides, I noticed a rustling in some bushes not too far away. And I also got the feeling of being watched quite closely. And I was getting like this feeling, some sort of a expectation or eager type of energy waiting for me behind those bushes. But all the while, throughout that entire meeting with that one guide of mine, nothing emerged from there. And the thing is, when I ask, even as I say this right now, as to why another guide refuses to emerge, I just get the very stern message that the meeting that you would currently be in is private, and that is polite and respectful to do so. So when you do meet your first guide for the first time, politely ask if there is any other spirit wishing to meet with you. If the answer is yes, then of course you'd be urged to set up another meeting so that you can meet your other guide. One thing to note as well is that when you do ask if there's another guide, you are showing the acknowledgement that you did notice there is something there, or you feel that something is there. You have an awareness. It's showing that the door isn't closed to your other guides. So that, you know, that's basically the meditation. Like I said, if, you know, I went through it probably a little too quickly, so you can just re-listen to the meditation part itself for you to memorize. You'll know the steps to go through. Now, I actually have another surprise for you. I am going to give you another example, and I guess ability or exercise to show you another form of reality, or perception of reality. And that is learning how to read auras. Now, as you know, any one person has an aura. Everybody has them. But can we all see them? No. But just, again, just because we can't see them doesn't mean that they're not there. So I'm going to tell you a technique that is very simple to do on how to see auras. So anybody can see auras, by the way. And I had that desire. I couldn't for the longest time. But just like with any ability that we may have or wish to grow, it takes practice, patience, and time. But it seems that for the most part, it looks like reading auras is actually one of the easier abilities to accomplish. At least it was for me. It took me about 10 minutes to start seeing them. Granted, I could only see one color, but at least I could see them. So I'm going to share with you now this technique that I have personally used in order to start seeing auras. But before I do, I just have one piece of advice. And you'll know why when you start using this practice exercise here. The absolute hardest part in seeing auras is actually not looking. I know it sounds rather contradictory, but like I said, I think you'll understand what I mean when you start this yourself. Okay, so the exercise is find a few willing volunteers to help you. So whether it's your spouse, a child, friend, sibling, parent, they will be your test reading subjects. Have them sit or stand in front of you and very still. They cannot move much, especially their heads. And it's preferable that they stand or sit up against a light-colored wall. White is most likely the best. And, of course, in a room with very good lighting. And so then, once you have found your test subject, you need to tell them that you will be staring at them. So if it makes them uncomfortable or they feel the urge to, you know, burst into laughter, perhaps it would be best if they were to just close their eyes. Because a person who feels uncomfortable or a person who starts laughing will break your focus very easily because they're bound to move, of course. And then you'll have to start all over again. So sit or stand directly in front of your test subject. And you are to then stare right directly at the very middle of their forehead. Now, do not allow your eyes to wander. No matter how much you want to look around, don't. Stare directly at their forehead only. And as you are staring, actually allow your vision to get out of focus or blurry. Don't fight the blurred vision. Allow it to actually take a firm hold. And the best way to describe this is you are staring through something. Now hold that stare and the blurred vision. I even recommend to try and not blink too often because that too will take away your blurred vision and intense stare. Now very slowly you will begin to notice a slight hue of color appearing around the person's head. Do not look at it directly. Hold the stare. The longer you hold your fixed stare, the more you will notice the color appearing. That's it. That's all. That's all there is to it. Now, in the beginning, you may be like me and only be able to see one color, but that's okay. Remember, our abilities grow in time and with practice. So the more you practice, then the easier it will be for you to see the auras and see more colors in the auras too. With diligent practice, you can work yourself up to being able to see auras with little to no effort, where the ability will probably kick in immediately whenever you want it to. And as a note, you can do this exercise on yourself as well. All that you need to do for you to read your own aura is to stand in front of a mirror and you stare into the middle of your own forehead. So as mentioned, I was able to see auras the very first time I used this technique and without any prior so-called training. So I'm pretty darn confident that you'll be able to do it as well, because if I can do it, anybody can do it, trust me. And I know, but like I said, the absolute hardest part in seeing auras is actually not looking. You can't look. But with self-discipline and control, I know you can do it. So there we have it, another form of reality, a different perception of reality that you can now add to what you already have as your own reality. You have different realities and perspectives now. So folks, that concludes today's episode for now. I hope you enjoyed especially on how to read the auras. It's really fun to do. One thing to note, though, too, I forgot to mention, is whatever color that you do see in that moment, I'm being told all the time when I'm doing it, is that when you're just seeing the one color, that's the main color of a person's aura or spirit, if you will. Like, for example, my daughter has a green aura, so she's a natural healer. She's going through pre-med, so I guess that's pretty accurate, eh? So anyways, time to sign off for today. I hope that this finds everybody well. And I promise that I will try to not have any further technical difficulties with my computer. Technology, you gotta love it. But when it works properly, right? Okay, folks, take care. You can visit me on my website, lisacasa.com. Get a reading, check out my blog, and I shall see you all next week. Bye for now. Love to everybody.